When I said those damn things, when I went back home, I got so many death threats. I got so many death threats when I was sitting there protecting everything. And I believed in North Korea. And when I went home, I couldn't even go home. I couldn't even go home. I had to hide out for 30 days.
I am just blown away by everything, all the audio that we just played. I cannot believe this is the real world that Dennis Rodman, who got in trouble for kicking a cameraman in the groin, who was suspended, if I'm not mistaken, for insulting Mormons when he played on the Bulls dynasties, that he is now the linchpin in geopolitical debate between North Korea and the United States. I'm trying to think of the biggest upset in the history of sports. Is it a bigger upset that Dennis Rodman would be involved in U.S. North Korean significant high level talks, or that Virginia would lose to UMBC, Maryland Baltimore County? Which is a bigger upset? Dennis Rodman being involved on this level with North Korea and the United States, if you had gone back in time, or the 16 seed UMBC beating Virginia Cavalier team? That is where we are as a country and as a world. Dennis Rodman is going to end up winning the Nobel Peace Prize. We bring in Lance Taylor at the Lance Taylor on Twitter, 94.5 Jocks down in Birmingham. Is this the most amazingly absurd story intersecting sports and politics of all time?
Where are we in this world, Clay? I mean, is it within a calendar year that Donald Trump has been elected, that Kim Jong has had his brother allegedly assassinated with water guns, and now we've got Dennis Rodman, who is actually going to bridge these two powers together? I don't understand what's going on with our world.
It is mind-boggling in every respect that this is the story. I mean, if you were playing odds, what kind of odds do you think you could have gotten on Dennis Rodman in Singapore? First of all, sponsored by some sort of cryptocurrency pot? I don't even understand pot. Yeah, I know what it is, but I don't understand how it could actually work. I guess you pay for pot with cryptocurrency is kind of the possibility. I mean, maybe they got the greatest ad buy of all time. But I have been arguing for a long time that if we sent the Bulls from like 96, 97, 98 over to North Korea, that Kim Jong-un is such a huge NBA fan that he would agree to whatever made sense in order to make that happen. I just, every time I think the world can't get any crazier, I see something like what was occurring on CNN last night when Dennis Rodman was being interviewed.
What would the odds? I mean, look, this is, you know, astronomical odds that Dennis Rodman is basically a world ambassador now. But if you would have gone back to 1996, 1997, what were the odds that Dennis Rodman would be alive in 20 years? And I'm not just, you know, throwing that out there for hyperbole. I mean, seriously, would you have believed 20 years ago Dennis Rodman? What were the odds 20 years ago that Dennis Rodman would still be alive?
Probably not that high. I mean, we played those clips as we're starting off the day, and I mean, I was watching them last night just thinking the world is truly a more wild and insane place than even I could have comprehended. All right, let's go to actual on the court news. If I were telling you right now, Lance Taylor, you're advising LeBron James, you get an opportunity to tell him to go anywhere in the entirety of the NBA universe. You can try to put together a team around him if you see fit. What's the best destination for LeBron? What makes the most sense for him?
To me, it's much more difficult this time, Clay. So from Cleveland to Miami, the first decision I thought was relatively easy because he knew he was going to ultimately win a ring or two, which he did. And then I thought the redemption decision 2.0 was relatively easy to come back home and to bring Cleveland their first championship since 1963. So I thought that made a lot of sense. This one's really, really difficult. Because I think if you're LeBron, and selfishly, I'd like for LeBron to go to the Lakers because I'm a Lakers fan. I'd like for the Lakers to be able to sign two max guys. I would much rather have Kawhi Leonard than Paul George. But if you sign Kawhi and LeBron, watch out. When you've got other guys there, and they would have to deal some of the parts. But if you could retain a Lonzo Ball or a Brandon Ingram with those guys, a Kyle Kuzma, you know, that's a team that would be ready-made to take on Golden State and possibly dethrone Golden State. But I don't know if it's that simple. I don't know if you're going to be able to sign another guy like Kawhi. You know, Paul George and LeBron together, they can make a really good run at it. But if LeBron is to go to Los Angeles and to not win a championship, I mean, you tell me which great players. And I know Karl Malone was great, but Karl Malone was a shade of himself when him and Gary Payton tried to make a run with the Lakers and tried to chase a ring when they got swept by the Pistons. I just don't know of great players that have gone to Los Angeles and not been able to actually capture a championship. So if LeBron was to do that and not win a title, I think it would be a little taint on the legacy. Philadelphia, I don't know how good the fit is. You know, if he stays put in Cleveland, that might be the safest route because we don't have any expectations there. But, I mean, selfishly, I would say go to Los Angeles and hopefully Magic Johnson can land one of these other max guys.
What do you think about LeBron wearing the cast into the press conference after the sweep in Game 4?
I thought it was unneeded. It's the guy that acts hurt on a layup after he, you know, misses an easy layup and gets a little contact. To me, it's Kevin Durant. It's not needed to have a burner Twitter account. To me, LeBron James, look, you carried an entire team through the NBA playoffs into the NBA Finals, and yeah, you were swept out, but the expectation was you were going to lose in four or five games to begin with. And look, maybe the hand was that banged up, but I just thought it was literally such a crutch to do what he did.
Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt. We opened and talked a lot about that in the show yesterday, and there's videos everywhere. I tweeted one out last night of him doing push-ups, the handshakes, everything else. I don't doubt that his hand was hurt, but deciding to show up in the cast, to me, was the ultimate look at me. I'm trying to come up with an excuse for why we got swept. It wasn't my fault. Oh, look, if J.R. Smith had just not been an idiot, we would have won Game 1. This series would have gone entirely differently. We're talking to Lance Taylor at The Lance Taylor. As we come into the long offseason, I would say, you know, this is when you're a college football coach, for instance, when you sit around and you just hope that everybody's not going to get in trouble during the offseason. You're down in Alabama, and I feel like this there's kind of been a lot of talk about it, but there hasn't really been a resolution in terms of who Alabama's starting quarterback is going to be. Is it going to be Tua, or is it going to be Jalen Hurts? The talk was that the person who was not going to be the starter would transfer, and I think the expectation became that it was going to be Jalen Hurts. What's the latest? Is there any kind of suggestion that we've gotten any closer to a decision? Is it possible that Saban is able to persuade both these guys to be back in the fall?
You know, there was a lot of heated talk back in March, and, you know, it's kind of the calm before the storm right now, Clay, because nobody's really talking about it. Now, we'll obviously have SEC Media Days in 1 month in Atlanta, and I think things will really heat up then. You know, talking to people close to the program, a lot of people believe that Jalen is still going to transfer. I don't know when that magical time is when you decide to actually pull out and you go on, and maybe that's early August. Maybe he actually is involved in a little bit of fall camp. I think the most people predict if Jalen is there, he will start against Louisville and Orlando week one. But by week two or three, it's going to be Tua's job. It's just way too much talent to keep him off the field. The rumblings that most people heard over the last couple of months that Tagovailoa was going to transfer if he wasn't playing in that Georgia game was true. I mean, everybody that's close to Tua, and he was done with the program if he doesn't play in that game. And obviously Nick Saban was a ballsy call to put him in. It worked out for everyone involved. Jalen Hurts is 26-2 as a starting quarterback. This is a guy that won, you know, the SEC Offensive Freshman Player of the Year in the SEC in 2016. So it's kind of amazing where we sit right now, and it's a good problem to have if you're Alabama. Ultimately, I think Jalen Hurts still transfers, Clay, and I think Tagovailoa is going to be the guy. But this thing could really get interesting over the next month and a half.
Which is more interesting, how long the Alabama dynasty will continue to go on or how long the Golden State Warrior dynasty will continue to go on? If I gave you right now over-unders on how long Alabama, basically the Alabama dynasty is a function of how many years, I think you would agree Nick Saban probably wants to coach, because I think it's unlikely that Saban is going to allow things to just fall off the face of the earth in terms of Alabama being really good. I don't know how long the Warriors are going to be able to keep everybody together. It looks like they've got at least one more year, and then Klay Thompson potentially comes on the market, and they have to figure out what to do with him. Which dynasty is going to last longer? Which one would you take right now?
I'll take Alabama, and just based on this, I really believe Nick Saban, and this is crazy to say because when he took the job 11 years ago, I thought that the window was about 5 years. I think the window might be five more years, and you know, you mentioned a couple of factors. Klay Thompson in a year, Draymond in 2 years, Kevin Durant right now, Steve Curry with that tricky back. I mean, there's way too many factors, and you know, one decision in the NBA can really cause a ripple effect. I just think Nick Saban's really healthy. And as long as Nick Saban's there, it really doesn't matter who your coordinators are. He's always going to be able to recruit, and he's just got – I mean, it's just a well-oiled machine. So I would say Alabama's got at least five or six more years, and I just don't believe – I don't think we've ever seen that outside of the Boston Celtics back in the 60s. I just don't think, you know, that Golden State's going to be able to maintain at this level more than two or three more years.
We're up here for the U.S. Open. It is obviously a dead zone in the world of sports in general in terms of major news. Then we've got the World Cup. How much interest will you have in the world? I feel like a lot of people are going to sit around on Saturday and Sunday if it's a close contest, especially if Tiger were able to be involved, and pay a lot of attention to the U.S. Open just because there's not a lot else going on. But also the World Cup is starting. Will you pay any attention at all to the World Cup? And I'm kind of curious in your town, because last time in the World Cup, I feel like soccer had really kind of started to make a dent in terms of everybody was building their day around the U.S. games. Obviously, the U.S. choked and is not in the World Cup this year. Do you feel any kind of World Cup fever at all in Birmingham, Alabama, which I would say is kind of the heartland of the United States? Will people pay attention at all to the World Cup?
I'm glad you asked me this because, yeah, 4 years ago, this is when it was kind of the beginning of all of the local craft brews, at least here in Birmingham and Alabama. And we've got a ton of breweries now, and it's a really good setting for that. But these were kind of the background for all of these World Cup games, viewing parties. And it was a ton of fun 4 summers ago. And so I was really looking forward to this summer until, obviously, we didn't qualify. Well, now we've got to find a way to root. Now, I still don't know how the viewing's going to go down based on the time differential. But what I did last night with some buddies, and this is ironic because I guess Jersey just signed off on the legalization of sports gambling, and not that this is necessarily legal. But we've come up with a pretty good pool where we're going to do a snake draft, and we're going to draft different countries to keep us involved and at least interested in this. So I'm going to own four or five World Cup teams, and I'm going to have monetary value attached to it. So I'm going to be interested. As far as other people in this community, I think they'll jump on board because it's a pretty big soccer community, but it's not going to have the buzz that we had 4 summers ago.
Yeah, I think gambling could help people pay attention. I know there's a lot of nervousness about how the ratings are going to be with Fox having all the World Cup without the U.S. Now, if we don't blow it and if we don't get screwed by FIFA and everybody else, if we get the World Cup in 2026 in this country, that could help to balance out not having a team there this year. But I do think there would be a lot more enthusiasm and excitement. For instance, the U.S. tying France most recently when the U.S. team played. I don't think we'd be great, but I think there'd be a lot of excitement about can we get out of the group play. There'd be a lot of discussion about that. That was the thing I was most disappointed about when the U.S. lost, was just that we didn't have that opportunity to discuss that and how exactly it was going to go, particularly given the fact that it's taking place in Russia. Good stuff,
you know,
as always.
You know,
yeah.
Well, Clay, I was going to tell you real quick, and this might be good for you. We were discussing a couple of weeks ago things that are amazing in 2018 in sports, and one of the amazing things is how bad we suck at soccer. We've got the world's best athletes. We're sitting at home. It makes zero sense.
Yeah, you know, it's a mess in general for how we've managed to create the situation that we've created in the world of soccer. And I think probably sometimes you have to hit rock bottom in order to climb your way back up. I think we've probably done that in U.S. soccer, but that was an embarrassment to lose the way we did to Trinidad and Tobago, if I remember watching that back in, I don't even remember when that game was played, February, something like that. Good stuff as always, LT. We will talk to you probably next week. In the meantime, let's see what the worm can do in Singapore. Bring in Alex Marvez. We do every single Tuesday in hour two. Alex Marvez hosts a show on Sirius XM at Alex Marvez on Twitter. Alex, there seemed like there was a lot of rumor and innuendo and potential drama surrounding a Rob Gronkowski trade that might or might not happen. And then it all kind of vanished. And now they're talking about a contract extension. What's the story out of New England? It seems like It's definitely not a resolved situation with Tom Brady, Gronkowski. Obviously, Edelman now has got the suspension for substance, or improper substance or PED or whatever you want to say. What's the story there? I mean, there is still an awful lot of drama, it seems.
You know, my new thing in life, Clay, and I think we should both do this maybe. I know you have a lot of spare time, right? It's not like you're running a media empire, but let's just start anonymously posting things on Reddit boards and go from there. You know, because we'll give that stuff the same amount of credibility as, like, you know, the adult reporters in the room, right? And the people who actually do this sort of stuff for a living. Because that's where all the Rob Gronkowski stuff started stemming from. You had someone on Reddit who got a tip that Julian Edelman was going to be suspended for PEDs. This gets posted on a message board. Then the same poster says, I've got something huge coming out on Friday. I just am seeking confirmation of this. Huh? What? Okay, so we've got Johnny Scoop on Reddit. This leads to all sorts of speculation that Rob Gronkowski is about to get traded. Don't know where all of this was happening. Bill Belichick was in New York for the day eating $60 pancakes as the New York Post exposed, expose, exclusive in the New York Post. And, you know, it became this major story. What are we doing here? Reporting on these things, you know, for message boards and giving them credibility, but thus is the news cycle of today. Rob Gronkowski not going anywhere for the New England Patriots, probably there for one more year. If anything, any sort of contract extension would be a raise to what he's receiving this season. Of course, then you might want to give Tom Brady a raise as well, because Brady is now, I believe, what, the ninth highest paid quarterback in the NFL, and is getting lapped by guys who haven't even won a playoff game, like Matthew Stafford, Derek Carr, Andrew Luck, all these guys that continue to get contract extensions while Tom is making for what his position and what he's accomplished relative pittances. So Gronkowski's going to stay. Edelman, we don't even know if he's going to have to serve this 4-game suspension. That's the other thing. The word got out on this one, and that's what happens when people talk. Word gets around, and in the case of Julian Edelman, something happened where the word got out. We don't even know what substance he was banned for, you know, that showed up on a test. So he still may be able to play these first 4 games. But for one more year, you got the band together. You got Brady. You got Gronk. Roll from there. Do not expect Rob Gronkowski to get traded.
You mentioned that Brady's the ninth highest paid quarterback, I think, in the NFL right now. Obviously, LeBron James is about to become a free agent for the third different time. And nobody out there is saying that LeBron should take less than his max contract would suggest that he deserves. Have we not given enough attention to the fact that Brady has never been a guy who has beaten the table saying, I need to be the highest paid at my position? In fact, you may know this better than me. Has Tom Brady ever been the highest paid quarterback in any year throughout his career?
May have been in the early 2000s. I know he received a good contract initially from the Patriots, but remember that when the Patriots were initially negotiating with Brady, and if I'm not mistaken, they extended him before his rookie contract expired because they realized that he was outplaying his deal. And at that point, you know, if you're Tom Brady, you want that financial security, right? And that's a good thing. And he'd been comfortable for a long time, you know, playing at a financial level that allowed the Patriots, and he bought into this hook, line, and sinker that, oh, well, you know, we're going to need that extra money, Tom, to build a great team around you. So it seemed like he was willing to give that hometown discount because he was comfortable playing in New England. He had, you know, he was allowed to do things his way to a certain extent. He was the unquestioned leader of the team. There's something to be said for comfort that comes with being a quarterback. Remember, too, that Tom's making a lot of money through off-field endorsements, etc. But as time has gone on, you know, maybe he feels a little bit taken advantage of. You look at this Patriots team on paper, Clay, they're not real good on paper. And the wide receiver position is really shaky. Tight end depth, again, behind Gronkowski just makes you scratch your head. They're going to trust Isaiah Wynn, all 6'3", 305 pounds of him, to man the left tackle position. The rookie at the University of Georgia, he'd be the smallest left tackle in football. Is that a recipe for success? The defense has one difference maker in the front seven in Dante Hightower. And then you see great players like Deion Lewis. You know, Malcolm Butler, we understand a personality conflict, but others have left the Patriots through the years that, you know, it makes you say, well, why didn't we spend to keep these guys? Why are we trading Chandler Jones, the NFL sack leader, in 2017 when we would have had room to sign him? What am I doing here with my money? And all of this becomes exacerbated because of Bill Belichick's, you know, frayed relationship with Tom Brady and the personal trainer issue. Now, maybe things are getting a little bit better in that regard when you see, you know, the report from Seth Wickersham of ESPN, who is really tied into that organization, that says that Alex Guerrero now allowed back inside the building at Patriots headquarters, working with players this offseason. So maybe that's part of the olive branch extended by Bill Belichick at the urging of Robert Kraft to try to make Tom Brady happy. But it is a significant story, and it just makes you wonder, okay, how much money did Tom Brady leave on the table overall? And listen, even though his name was attached, by the way, back in 2011 to the NFL Players Association lawsuit over the lockout, you know, Brady versus NFL, Tom Brady did the NFLPA no favors, because by taking subpar contracts through the years with the New England Patriots when it comes to salaries, he depressed the contract market for others in the same situation. What the NFLPA wants is every player to try for the highest contract possible. They're known as contract drivers. That's why Gene Upshaw didn't want to get rid of the rookie salary cap. He wanted players to max out. He didn't care if Matt Stafford never took a snap on the field before getting $45 million guaranteed, or Sam Bradford at $50 million guaranteed. It was because it drove up the entire market for quarterbacks. Tom Brady has never done it, and now there might be a little bit of buyer's remorse.
Yeah, you know, it's like me. I mean, I want Colin Cowherd to make as much money as he possibly can. I want Dan Patrick to make as much money as they possibly can, because it helps me. Right? I mean, a rising tide lifts all boats. And I always say that if you're an NFL quarterback, or you're a safety like Earl Thomas that's hoping to get a good deal, you want everybody that plays your position to make as much as possible, because it helps you out as well. I think one of the great and strange and really unbelievable stories that has not been written about very much in the grand scheme of things is this whole Andrew Luck health situation. He still has not thrown a football. And now they're saying that they're optimistic he's going to be able to throw a football soon. What in the world is going on with his health, and what's the real story there?
Well, the real story is how bad his shoulder was messed up originally, okay, and how this was bungled from the start. And Clay, I regret not being able to ferret out this story better. I listened to people that, you know, were telling me, no, things are good with Andrew. Don't worry, he's going to be fine. The shoulder surgery isn't a big deal. No, it was a big deal, and I was initially told that his shoulder was an absolute wreck and there was a legitimate chance he may not be able to make it back from the types of injuries that he had. And, you know, part of it was...
You mean make it back for...
Make it back, period.
Ever.
Ever. Like, or just, or does he become Burt Jones? You know what I mean? We're talking cold quarterback.
Yeah, no, I mean, I want to ask that. Yeah, I want to ask that question. So, what exactly happened in that shoulder? Is this something where the Colts should have addressed it much earlier than they did? Because we haven't seen this happen, right? I'm trying to think right now, you know, obviously on live radio off the top of my head, where we've had a guy who is at the peak and apex of his career, right? There's no doubt that Andrew Luck was playing incredibly well, and that if you were a Colts fan, you felt like, okay, this guy's going to win us a Super Bowl. Like, you had seen enough to believe that he was going to be incredible. Short of, in the NFL, a Bo Jackson-like situation, which was a long time ago, right? Where you had a player at the absolute apex of his ability, and he got hurt, and he was never able to come back. It's hard to find guys who have been in this kind of situation that Andrew Luck is even in.
Right. I mean, especially with the technology of today. Terry Bradshaw's career ended prematurely because not only did he suffer shoulder injuries, but it just wasn't handled very well by the team. I mean, I remember as a kid watching Bradshaw get thrown out there, and he can't pass. I mean, his shoulder is just an absolute train wreck, yet he's still playing, and a little bit of that happened with Andrew Luck. You had a disconnect between Andrew Luck and the people that did the surgery, but even before that, Clay, you had a guy who if you look, and Chris Collinsworth broke this down on Sunday Night Football, and people have reported it this offseason like it's a revelation with his throwing motion. No, Chris spelled it out there. He put on video 2014 what an Andrew Luck pass looked like. Then by 2015, 2016, you notice that the guy is having to shorten his stride. And when he throws, you know, he's not taking the ball back as far. He shortened his throwing motion because he's in pain, because his body cannot physically do this, and that's causing all sorts of torque on his shoulder. So he comes back, and he's trying to get on the football field, and you have Jim Irsay, obviously, you know, talking about him coming back, and he'll be ready for the start of the season, and Chuck Pagano, whose job security hinges on Andrew Luck coming back and playing, so I'm sure there was, whether they want to say it, you know, whether they actually said it or not, an extreme amount of pressure to try to get Andrew Luck back. Andrew wants to play football, and as pointed out by Chris Ballard before, and maybe Frank Reich, I'm not sure if he said it, but I know I've talked to Chris about this, the GM, that there were some skips that were stepped in, in rehab when it came to Andrew Luck. So the guy has a shoulder surgery, but then he's out there trying to do things. He's trying to get, you know, from A to Z while skipping like five letters of the alphabet. And that's not going to happen. And so it ended up causing more problems in the shoulder. That's when he went overseas to get his, you know, medical treatment, whatever that entails. You know, and we roll from there. Look, the fact that he's not throwing, they said this. At least they were up front this time and said he may not throw until the start of the preseason. And that's fine for them because they want to be 100% certain that Andrew Luck's coming back. I will say this. If Andrew Luck doesn't take the field again or is quite honestly not the same quarterback, you can't say that the Colts didn't look at this thing really closely medically, because Clay, they had the number 3 pick in the draft. They could have selected an heir apparent to Andrew Luck and said, listen, we're going to move on from this because we're not certain that he's going to be ready. All of these guys' jobs depend on it. Chris Ballard's job, Frank Reich's job, they got to make sure it was right. And they decided to trade out from 3 to 6 and then draft an offensive lineman. So I think that'll tell you right there how they feel Andrew Luck is coming back.
But they felt that last year, evidently, too. I just think the storyline of a player as good as Andrew Luck potentially having a threat to his entire career. And how old is Andrew Luck? Like 28 years old right now?
I mean, he's not even. I mean, he was. Remember, he was already in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. We didn't need to do anything else. That's where he was. Every year, he got better. Every year, the Indianapolis Colts advanced until he got hurt. And they didn't handle this injury properly. And it is fascinating. You know how a team could have something that's so good as Andrew Luck, and it gets screwed up so bad. And I don't put it largely on the player. The team at some point had to say, Andrew, we're shutting you down. Something's not right here with your shoulder. We need to get this fixed. They didn't do it. And this has obviously hurt this franchise incredibly.
Yeah, and Andrew Luck will turn 29 years old in September of this year. So he's still only 28 years old right now. And like I said, what's amazing about this is there's almost no precedent for a guy like Andrew Luck. And do you think this story would be a lot bigger? Can you imagine if Andrew Luck had been playing in, for instance, New York or right. D.C.? Or I feel like Indianapolis, it's just a little bit under the radar compared to a bigger, more major media market. But I feel like this story is so undercovered.
Yeah, I understand. You know, the one good thing I can say about this offseason when it comes to positivity toward Andrew Luck, take a look at him physically. You know, the guy can lift weights. The guy looks strong. You know what I mean? He doesn't look like emasculated like he did during the 2017 offseason when he was unable to lift weights, and obviously that initial shoulder procedure just didn't do what it was supposed to do, and the guy's arm is hurting. So, you know, look, I agree with you, and I think that, you know, look, if the beginning of the preseason starts and Andrew Luck is not on the football field and he's not tossing a ball, this is going to become a more major story than what it is now. But, Clay, I agree with you. I think it's interesting. We rarely see it when an athlete in his prime is struck down by one particular injury. It's one thing when it comes to J.J. Watt, right? In his situation, it was multiple injuries, different types of things that have sidelined him and derailed what a career that really could have been the greatest in NFL history for a defensive player. I mean, the guy won 3 NFL Defensive Player of the Year awards. The only other player in league history to have done that was Lawrence Taylor. But now, I mean, we just don't know if J.J. Watt's a double-digit sack guy because he's gotten older and he's just been so banged up in his career. So we need to watch that. And, you know, but again, that was different than Andrew Luck, where it's just one injury that has manifested itself in a way that you just wonder, is the guy ever going to be the same again?
Speaking of Andrew Luck, his dad, Oliver, signed a deal to be the commissioner of the XFL, and the number that really kind of jumped out at me was that he's getting a 3-year, $20 million reportedly guarantee. I mean, I think that's at least the dollar figures out there. Do you think that's a sign that Vince McMahon is making smart strategic decisions about his direction with the XFL? Are you surprised they could get a guy like Oliver Luck? What does this mean in general for the league? I know you're a wrestling guy, so I know you're familiar with Vince McMahon. What's the story here from your perspective on Oliver Luck to the XFL?
The funny part is that Vince McMahon, who, by the way, there's no union in WWE, right? No union, so the wrestlers get paid a pittance. So Vince has been scamming guys for years and years, and there's no place else to really go and make huge money unless you want to travel overseas to Japan. Well, you know, and even then, I mean, it's not like the WWE schedule, but he overpaid. And Oliver Luck was miserable at the NCAA. He had a job there. He hated it. He was looking for a life raft to get out. And Vince McMahon decides to send one at averaging $6 million a year to a guy who's basically about to quit and be unemployed. Are you kidding? So, I mean, good for Oliver Luck being in the right place at the right time. You know, what is he heading up here as a league? You look at the fact that this Alliance of American Football got the year head start on them. And the Alliance is going to basically have their pick of the best of the worst. In other words, It's all those NFL players who are unable to make it, or developmental college guys, whatever. They're going to the Alliance first, then the XFL. Are they going to? And by the way, all of these guys with the Alliance, when they sign, they're going to have 3-year contracts. So, you know, if you're under an Alliance contract, you're not going to be able to sign with the XFL the following year. So the Alliance has this type of deal that's going to freeze out so much of the top talent. So what is it that Vince McMahon is going to be running here in 2020? Is it even going to look like football? Is it going to be glorified arena ball? You know, Vince McMahon can do, he does pro wrestling better than anybody, right? Nobody has ever done to pro wrestling what Vince McMahon has done. But when it comes to every other outside adventure, he is an absolute failure because he can only do pro wrestling. That's why I expect the XFL to be another failure. By the way, too, it's interesting, there is WWE backing behind it. And that was, you know, even though Vince said that this was a separate project back in January when he made his grandiose announcement, a recent listing for a media relations vice president of communications guy says that whoever's in the XFL will get to enjoy the WWE's corporate communications department and et cetera. So, look, I can't completely dismiss the possibility of this working out and heavy promotion on WWE-type products, maybe their network, et cetera. But XFL, I think 1 year too late, and I think it's going to be another spectacular Vince McMahon failure outside of wrestling.
Yeah, it's intriguing for sure. All right, last question for you, and we're talking to Alex Marvez. You can hear him on SiriusXM. Follow him on Twitter, at Alex Marvez. What are you hearing about the young rookie quarterbacks, if anything, Baker Mayfield and crew, as they roll into their new locations? Anything positive, anything negative, anything interesting that you have heard about the new quarterback class?
Josh Rosen may be doing this year what basically happened to Mike Glennon last year in Chicago, where Josh Rosen is on the field much quicker than expected by a franchise that just gave a huge contract to one quarterback. And I know Sam Bradford was essentially what Mike Glennon was for the Bears, which is this, you know, $17 million insurance policy that the Cardinals felt they needed to sign Sam Bradford because they weren't sure if they were going to be able to get a quarterback in the draft. Well, as it turns out, they did. So now they've got Sam Bradford, and I know Sam's supposed to get some work done this week at the Cardinals minicamp, but Josh Rosen has just been tearing it up behind the scenes. He has been working his tail off, and I get the feeling he's going to be on the football field sooner than later, because there's really no reason for the Arizona Cardinals to sit around and wait for Sam Bradford to either get hurt again or lead him to 8-8. That's not productive. You know, getting Josh Rosen, you know, fast tracked to be a difference maker starting in 2019 and beyond, that should be the goal for the Cardinals while he's still playing under his rookie contract. You know, with Baker Mayfield, it's slow, man. It's slow because, you know, again, guy just not familiar taking snaps from center, reading NFL style defenses. I mean, he's a ways off, but that's to be expected. He's getting work with the twos right now, you know, through the mini camps, and that'll hopefully accelerate his process. But no question, Tyrod Taylor's the guy. You know, the Jets have a weird situation because, Josh McCown, if he is indeed their starter and doesn't just slip all the way to third string, you know, you've only got a certain number of snaps that you can give out during a day, and Teddy Bridgewater's taken some of those. And they've got to make a decision, okay, how serious are we on Teddy Bridgewater? Are we going to really give him a chance to compete for a starting spot? Is he going to be just someone we keep in mothballs for the season because we didn't spend a lot for him, and we're going to give those snaps to Josh and to Sam Darnold? Because fast-tracking Sam Darnold, again, something that the Jets need to try to do here, you know, to get him ready to play, because this team has terrible receivers, and the tight end position is an absolute disaster. And then we get to Buffalo, where I really believe that quarterback competition is a lot more open than people think. It's not like A.J. McCarron has this huge NFL resume that he's coming in with. The guy started 3 games in his career, so it's all up to Josh Allen. And, you know, again, we'll see a little bit more once we get to actual football when guys aren't throwing against air, but the guy can he can toss the football. I mean, he can really, really throw the ball. We knew that going in, but he's been absolutely awesome with his receivers and getting it out there. Again, another guy that doesn't have the best of supporting cast at the receiver position, but don't be surprised if Buffalo pulls that trigger on him sooner than later with A.J. McCarron. Again, not a proven guy.
Good stuff, as always. Follow him on Twitter, at Alex Marvez. We will talk to you next week, my man.
And your wife should be proud. We didn't talk about the anthem. Very nice.
We did manage to avoid the anthem discussion.
Ladies and gentlemen.
I'm just glad I was there.
Boys and girls.
I thought he thought I was like this ginormous piece of chicken.
Dying time's here.
I had a boa constrictor stuck to my face.
Sam, you have a what?
This is Animal Thunderdome.
All right, Danny G, you're taking us out of the catbird seat here. What you got for me?
Clay, of course this happened in Florida. A Home Depot worker was bitten several times after a customer's pet spider monkey escaped from her truck. The monkey's owner, Tina Ballard, told a deputy that she left her pet monkey in her truck on a leash while she went inside the Home Depot. However, the spider monkey escaped the vehicle, and Marilyn Howard, the Home Depot employee, was taking a break outside the store. She heard some people yelling about a monkey, so she walked over. She tried to pet the monkey. The monkey jumped on her back and bit her back multiple times, then climbed off of her. Howard was able to grab its leash again and started walking it to the front of the store as she was in serious pain. When the store's front door opened, Howard said the monkey got scared and attacked her again. This time she was bitten on the arm and the hand and also scratched on the left side of her face. She said, "I cried for the first 24 hours, not gonna lie. God forgive me," she said, "but I'm gonna get over it. It'll go away."
I'm not an expert, okay? But I know you're not supposed to leave dogs and certainly kids in a car when you are parked outside, right? Because it gets so hot. And I know it's hot this time of year in Florida. Can you leave a monkey in a vehicle like that? And also, can you have monkeys as pets? I still think this is crazy that you can just decide to have a monkey as a pet.
My question is, who would want a monkey as a pet?
Well, I could certainly... I don't understand why people have lots of things as pets. I mean, I would think that a monkey might be a fun pet. I mean, it's obviously a fairly smart animal in the grand scheme of, like, the animal ranking intelligence. So maybe they're fun. I don't know. I just think that's crazy. But to take your monkey to the Home Depot, leave it outside. And also, who, by the way, decides they want to play with somebody else's pet monkey? I got to be honest with you. I think this is a poor move by the Home Depot employee in general.
She thought it was so cute, she says here.
It was in a diaper.
Not so much.
It was wearing a diaper,
well,
literally.
Clay, these animals throw feces. That's all you need to know. That's why I question having one as a pet.
Think they're very clean. I agree. Yeah. I think the disease might keep me from, like, handshaking in a Home Depot with a random monkey in a diaper.
I mean, I wouldn't want to interact with somebody's dog, you know, if I don't know the dog. I would think the dog might bite you, and much less a monkey. I think this is questionable behavior, questionable decision-making by the Home Depot employee in general, just to decide that it's going to make a friend with a monkey. What you got for me, Jason Martin?
Clay, I know you mentioned this yesterday on Outkick the Show, your very popular Facebook Live and Periscope show that runs at, 2 in the afternoon on the East Coast? Is that what it is?
3 in the afternoon on the East Coast. Although today I'm going to bump it back a little bit because I actually, in all honesty, I want to see what this ruling is going to be in the AT&T Time Warner case, and I'm going to break it down for people. So I might bump it back a little bit today.
All right. So you've talked about Chick-fil-A and Twitter.
Yes.
And the Twitter CEO apologizing for daring to eat a chicken sandwich during Pride Month. Well, Chick-fil-A does everything right. That's what we've talked about on this show before, including how tasty their food is. But in Ardmore, Oklahoma, it got interesting. Chick-fil-A actually fought against the animals. They noticed a snake slither across the parking lot and into a customer's car, and immediately called officials, wildlife folks, and they were able to get this snake out of this people's car before they ever even got back to the car. So Chick-fil-A actually managed to thwart a potential snake attack in its parking lot while still delivering the best food anywhere imaginable.
How incredible is that? Think about what usually, like, the level of fast food employee service you anticipate. If they can get your order correct, you're like, okay, this is pretty good. I still remember, like, what is the unemployment rate right now? 3.8%. I remember the last time we had an unemployment rate this low. It was almost impossible to find employees. And I remember pulling up at Wendy's, and I don't remember what exactly I was doing. I think I was rummaging through to get, like, change to be able to pay.
For a Frosty?
I was sitting at the window. And this woman had my food, and I didn't realize it. Like, she was leaning out the door the other way, and I was focused the other way. And I still remember this because I remember thinking, like, that's when you know you've reached full employment. The woman, she didn't even say anything to me. She just grunted. I swear to God. Like, she was just like, ah. You know, like, she literally did not even speak. And I remember thinking, like, That's when you know you've reached full employment. When you're at Wendy's and you've got a Frosty and somebody's trying to reach it to your window and they aren't even, like, the woman didn't even say, hello, hey, I've got your Frosty, or sir, I've got your Frosty. She just said, ugh. And I turned around and I was like, we have started to hire, like, I don't know, like, you know, these wildebeest to work in the windows of the Wendy's. And that was kind of the sign. And this is the exact opposite of that, right? Chick-fil-A is dunking on people to such an extent in the fast food game that not only are they getting you the right food and saying my pleasure and everything else, they are actually capable of seeing snakes trying to attack you in your car. That's
appreciate
incredible.
You
that's
that
next
snake
level.
Out of my, I appreciate you getting that snake out of my car. My pleasure. You know that's
by the
what
way,
happened. Like it
how ridiculous
happened.
Is that, that the Twitter CEO apologized for eating Chick-fil-A during Gay Pride Month?
That whole thing's ridiculous. Just because Truett Cathy stuck to his beliefs doesn't mean anything. Doesn't mean anything about every employee that works at Chick-fil-A. And the just level of outrage that even came from a bunch of verified Twitter accounts and people in the media are like, oh, that's real interesting that you would choose to advertise for Chick-fil-A. How much are you going to give to Glad? Dude just wanted some nuggets. I'm like, back off. Like, it's
also,
not like he's endorsing anything by eating food there anyway.
Is it, am I supposed to keep up now with like every week and every groups? Like, was I not a good person for not knowing that it was like, what is it now? Gay Pride Month?
Yes.
Did you know that June was Gay Pride Month?
I did not.
Did you guys know that in L.A.?
Yeah, because it's all over our social media timelines.
Really?
Who'd yeah, yeah. Well, I've seen several females tweeting about it and Instagramming about it.
I guess I'm an awful person. I had no idea it was Gay Pride Month. I am very prideful as a gay man, though. Pedros, did you see Dennis Rodman on CNN last night breaking down U.S.-North Korean relations?
First, I'd like to say I've never considered just hanging up the phone before an interview ever started. But that's about the closest I've ever come.
And that's your theme song.
No, it's not. You better change it. You better change it to something cool, man.
Can you believe if I had told you, like, let's go back in time.
No.
1998.
No. 98 was a great year for me. No, I can't believe it. Clay. I'm not a political person. I don't talk a lot of politics, but political discourse in this country, I mean, these are the people I've seen on TV in the last 5 days legitimately talking politics in our country. Number one, the president is Donald Trump. Number two, Pamela Anderson was on talking about her speaking at the Kremlin and Julian Assange. Number three, Dennis Rodman is crying on television with a bunch of pins in his face about North Korea. And it's like my radio partner, I think, said it very well. He said it's the WWE. It's no longer, it's just not recognizable. I don't know what that means, but it's like a reality show. I mean, I've known Dennis Rodman a long time. I worked with him on Pros versus Joes, and the thought that he is involved somehow in diplomatic peace talks that are shifting global lives, you know, stuff that hasn't happened for like a century or a half century, it's I don't even know what to say. It's a race to the bottom.
What, when you did Pros versus Joes, what was Rodman doing on the show?
Being ununderstandable.
But I mean, like, was it, like, what competition was he involved in?
I mean, first of all, let's call it what it is. Dennis Rodman's one of the great basketball players of all time and one of the most unique athletes. Just on the court, he was spectacular. You know, I mean, I hate to take that away from him because I really did love him as an athlete when he was first with the Pistons and then with the Bulls, the Spurs. I mean, he was awesome. But that being said, he didn't do much on Pros versus Joes. I do remember he cut himself, and I've never seen so many people take one step backwards away from a bleeding man as they did. from Dennis Rodman, which was an amazing moment. I'll never forget that.
All right, I have a poll question up. I want you to weigh in. And the poll question is this. You can find me on Twitter at Clay Travis and vote in this poll if you would like to. Last night, CNN had on Dennis Rodman as an expert in North Korean-United States global relations. Is this the biggest American sports upset of all time? Our nominees, 1980 U.S. hockey versus U.S. Russia. Buster Douglas knocks out Tyson. UMBC beats UVA. Or Rodman becomes an expert in North Korea. Which of, like, I got to be honest with you. I'm voting on, if you told me all these things happen, I could see a 16 seed beating a 1 seed at some point in time. I wasn't privy to the United States, and I don't know how to break down a hockey game now, but it doesn't stun me that if two teams are playing, that one team in the Olympics could beat the other team. And certainly, like,
what,
as big
about
of an
upset.
That's a big upset too. I had to bump somebody. I still say the biggest sports upset of my life is Buster Douglas over Mike Tyson that I remember being a part of. But if you told me that whoever the heavyweight champion of the world is right now was going to lose to a 30-1 underdog, or you had taken me back in time to 1998 and you had said, so this guy Dennis Rodman, he may be involved in winning the Nobel Prize to bring peace to the Korean Peninsula. There's no way on earth I am voting for Dennis Rodman as the this is the guy who got married to Carmen Electra and wore a wedding dress.
Yeah, I mean, it does really seem like you've thought about this pretty extensively. My thought is a little bit different. I don't really think of this as an upset or anything like that. I don't think you can really tell people. The thing people that are older that respond to this kind of stuff when we're dumbfounded at what our discourse has become in this country, as they say, well, you know, we were all shocked when Ronald Reagan, who was, you know,
a movie guy,
mid-level actor, became the president. And I remember when Reagan was the president. Well, I was pretty young, but man, it just doesn't seem the same as Dennis Rodman crying. You know, it doesn't seem, or Robert De Niro swearing on TV, 70 years old, flexing his biceps while
so
everybody
that's a,
cheers.
That's a good question for you too. Like, let's say that
the
trajectory.
In the crowd.
let's say the trajectory is people who are like 60 were in disbelief that in 1980 Ronald Reagan could get elected president. And they were like, I can't believe that this is where our country has led us to. And then, by the way, I think most people would say Reagan did a pretty good job as president. Donald Trump is one thing. But what's the trajectory if in another, whatever it is, 40 years, if Dennis Rodman, like, where could we go from I don't even know. I mean, I mean this honestly. I think we have reached a post-satire world where when you say, hey, Dennis Rodman's going to be on CNN crying in a crypto pot currency shirt talking about his relationship with Donald Trump and Kim Jong-un trying to bring peace to the world, I don't know that you can make up a more hypothetically absurd situation than that.
No, you can't, but we'll get there. And I mean, I'm really dancing around the whole issue, but just the way we communicate politically, and it's not exactly that you're, I don't know if you're a full-on help, Clay. I'm not really one to speak on it, but the way we communicate politically is a race to the bottom. I mean, it might be the same with sports, the way we yell at each other about who the GOAT is. And I just don't know where we go next.
I mean, think we're going to elect an emoticon. I mean, I think we're going to be like smiley face versus frowny face for like the president of the United States.
Is Jamie Kennedy going to be the next Secretary of State? I mean, who is next? Jason Priestley's kind of old and a little bit wiser now, or Luke Perry. I mean, who can we get to make us more ridiculous in the eyes of the world? But you know, who am I to say? I do AM sports radio and sit around in my underwear. I don't have much of a say.
Join the club. We're talking to Petros Papadakis. Follow him on Twitter at Petros and Money. Although, are you also on individually now? Like, what's your Twitter role?
Well, I don't have a blue check, so I see my other Twitter as a burner account with my name on it.
That makes sense. So when you You are in L.A. right now.
Yes, correct.
Is there a fever pitch about LeBron? And are you going to talk about LeBron to the Lakers every day for the next month?
Yeah, whether we laugh about it or cry about it or joke about it or mention it, it's kind of been an elephant in the room for, I don't know, half of the year already. And I would not be surprised if he didn't come to L.A. I don't think they expect it. But the narrative, I hate to use that word, is ever shifting in the dumbest ways. I mean, we had headlines on the big lead from some guy who's barely credentialed saying that he has entertainment sources saying LeBron is coming to L.A. because of the entertainment world. And then the guy spent the next 2 days walking it back so he wouldn't lose his Laker credential. And these things just shift everything, and people end up talking about it for an hour. And it's odd, but this is the third time we've done this. And I wouldn't be surprised if he came either. I don't think anything's beyond the pale. The funny thing is everybody talking about which super bougie private high school the kids are going to go to. Because I have heard everything from Viewpoint to Brentwood School. The high school in Brentwood is so bougie, they don't have high school in it. They just take it out. It's just called Brentwood School. How about that?
What is the cost of a top L.A. private school now? I mean, $60,000? I mean, what does it cost a year to go to one of these top places?
Gosh, I looked it up the other day, too. I think the most expensive high school in L.A. is Marlboro Prep, and then it kind of goes from there. But the one Gary Payton mentioned that LeBron's kids are already committed to, and a bunch of other celebrity children, is Sierra Canyon, which is in the Chatsworth area, which, as you are familiar with, is the porn capital of the world.
Oh, yeah. I would definitely be very familiar with that. What
I forgot about Stormy Daniels. That's another great political figure of our time.
But the Stormy Daniels thing at least makes sense. It doesn't surprise me that men are going to make bad decisions with sex and that some of the women they make bad decisions with could then be famous. Like, that's happened basically throughout human history. There
have you
been...
seen where she pops up if you click on certain sites? Obviously a mistake in my house. But she pops up and she's naked and she says, "You might have seen me on the news." I mean, she's fully naked. And
oh,
she
I mean,
says, it's me, Stormy Daniels.
When I was doing my research on Stormy Daniels, I went on Pornhub and I was like, I just want to see what the top, you know, results are for Stormy Daniels. And, yeah, I mean, she's a real porn star, you know, cause sometimes they use that phrase loosely and you're like, you're a B movie star or, you know, like you, like she's a legit porn star. Like there's nothing, you know, at all confusing about that. And so that doesn't surprise me as much as Dennis Rodman, geopolitical world expert.
Fair enough.
This school, like, is that like a $70,000 a year school? Like, I don't even know what the, like, I know, for instance, where I live in Nashville, the top of the line private schools would probably be $25,000 a year. Are we talking 60, 70? Like, I don't even know. It's got to be that range, right?
30 to 40.
Oh, okay, that's not as bad as I would have thought. I mean,
Oaks Christian is another one. Remember Joe Montana's kid was there. Wayne Gretzky's kid is a golfer there. Will Smith's kid. And these are all places that are north of Los Angeles. I'm OG. I live south of Los Angeles, below where Vince Vaughn got a DUI.
I didn't know Vince Vaughn got a DUI.
You should check the news, man.
I should pay more attention to the news, I guess. So every day for the next month. So when do you think this thing actually gets resolved? I mean, because that's my question. And I ask you this because I was talking with our program director the other day. I was like,
Are you talking about Korea?
No. Although we need to get Rodman on to find that out. No, like the NBA free agency starts July 1.
Oh.
Like, do you think we, like, because I'm curious how long this is going to drag out personally, because I don't want it to happen on July 4th because I want to take July 4th off and go to the beach and hang out with my family. And I'd also kind of like to take a couple of days around July 4th. Like, when do you think we actually get a resolution here?
Well, I think that it's going to come in the most odd fashion. I don't think he's going to be able to control its leaking, just like the last time it happened, because if you remember, the guy who broke the news when he left for Cleveland from Miami was Chris Sheridan, who was a dude with like an American flag bandana on his head in his emoji on Twitter, or his whatever they call it, his profile picture. So, you know, it wasn't Adrian, it wasn't Sham Sharunia or whatever. I mean, it was a pretty random guy who was a basketball reporter, no doubt. So you never know how it's going to leak out, and everybody's going to have some weird, stupid theory. And the long answer to that is no, I have no idea when it will be resolved, and I just cringe to find out what's going to happen.
What did you think about LeBron putting the cast on to go to his press conference after he got swept?
I'm with you. I mean, I respect the hell out of LeBron as an athlete. I think he is transcendent. I think he's amazing. I liken him to Usain Bolt, how you see a guy who's 20 meters ahead of the other people in the 200, and those guys are the world elites. So LeBron's out there with the best players in the world, and he's that much better than everybody. But I thought it was Bush League. You know, why make an issue out of it? Why make an excuse? You clearly got beaten. You were great. Go away. Go away for a week.
Amen. Go away for a week. Speaking of go away for a week, you'll be doing your show on 570 AM Sports.
AM 570 LA Sports.
So
it's
close.
Your biggest market. Know it.
I should. We will talk to you next week. Good luck with the yoga. That is Petros Papadakis at Petros and Money Show, AM 570 Sports LA. I don't know if I got that right again. Let's bring in my guy, Eddie Garcia, find out what's shaking the world of sports.
Yeah, you did not get that right again, unfortunately.